And he was attending a Gaudiamat program in someone's house. And in the talk, the sannyasi was saying how he quoted the verse Prativiti Yachiyat Nagaradi Gram. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message will go all over the world. So after the program, Srila Prabhupada was leaving with a friend. They were walking down the stairs.
Abhay Babu, who will do it? Who will take the movement, the message of Mahaprabhu all over the world?
Some fool who has complete faith in the words of his spiritual master. He will do it. Not you.
So Mother Rangavati followed by Soma Prabhu.
I'd like to take my time, Srila Prabhupada, to read an offering that was written by Bhaktin Faye Andrews. She's a student of the Bhagavad Gita online. She takes the course from Dhruva Maharaj and Samapriya. They have a number of students, and she's been with them for quite a long time. She's a very educated woman and has taken to your books with whole heart. So she writes to you this. Dear Srila Prabhupada, you may not be visible to my simple sight, but within my heart you are present as an eternal teacher, sharing Krishna with me and guiding me toward him. I am so very fortunate to have even met you indirectly, and surely was not worthy of this gift of loving Krishna that you so willingly and tirelessly shared. There is only one way to thank you, and that is through serving Krishna and continuing to share his love with others by the chanting of his holy names. Humbly, I thank you for saving me from the darkness of ignorance and suffering through your meticulous and beautifully written purports and divinely inspired translations of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Srila Prabhupada, humbly, I thank you for all your kind instructions given to your disciples. They continue to teach us, following in your footsteps, continuing in the disciplic tradition. As predicted, the Maha Mantra is spreading around the globe. Hare Krishna. Samapriya gave the service to me to help read with Faye a couple times a month. And I basically sit and listen to her teach me. She has learned the Bhagavad Gita. She has studied this Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's amazing how much she's learned online, and it's amazing how much the Bhagavad Gita has entered into her heart. She is a Christian woman her whole life, and she's gradually moved from that faith that was very deeply embedded in her. And that was through your teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, which are being taught all around the world. And as everyone said this morning, what you can do is beyond our imagination. We think we have some idea, but ultimately we don't. I can't imagine in 50 years how many people will know your writings. I hope and pray that you will bless us all so that we can continue to spread this message. There's so many young people now that are trying very hard. We went to a program the other night with Vishwambar and his Bhakti Land, hoping to reach out to the Yoga Society, and so many groups all around the world are doing their part, and it's morphing into something we don't know, we don't have an idea what'll come in the future, but we know that with you at the helm of the ship, that so many people will reach Krishna, and that back to Godhead, that stream of people following you back to the spiritual world is all due to your credit. And I thank you more than I can say. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
So, yes, Soma Prabhu, and then Nanda, Mother Nanda.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
So this is a remembrance of Srila Prabhupada on July 17th, 1971. Maharaj spoke a little bit of this same time when Srila Prabhupada came to Boston. Of course, for weeks before that, we were all getting ready for Srila Prabhupada's arrival, painting the temple, fixing it up, cleaning. And there was Satsrup Maharaj, who was married at that time, was the temple president. And there was this one older gentleman that used to visit the temple a lot. And he convinced Satsrup that the temple wasn't good enough for Srila Prabhupada to stay in. You know, this older man was saying, you know, Srila Prabhupada is Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the whole universe. And he volunteered to rent the best hotel in Boston, the Four Seasons Hotel, the penthouse suite. So Prabhupada would stay there when he was staying in Boston. And the devotees went there and they cleaned this hotel room very nicely. They put pictures of Krishna on the wall and nice flower vases to make it nice for Srila Prabhupada. So anyways, Srila Prabhupada arrived at the airport. I still remember everybody was in the airport. We were behind a big pane of glass, and you could see, you know, the plane roll up, and they pushed out these stairs that people would walk down and walk off the airplane. So we were all having a big kirtan behind the glass, and it seemed like everybody from the whole airplane got out first. And then finally, Srila Prabhupada came out, and everybody just went into ecstasy, you know, just, Jai, Srila Prabhupada. And immediately, Prabhupada looked up where the kirtan was, even though I don't think he could hear it because he was behind glass. We were all behind this big pane of glass. But anyways, we paid our obeisances, and we got up. You know, Srila Prabhupada was walking down the stairs, and he came into the airport, and he was garlanded with a few garlands, and they sat him down. He didn't stay very long at the airport. He got up and he started, you know, walking through the airport, and we're having a kirtan through the airport as Srila Prabhupada was walking along, and there was a car waiting for him right outside. And Srila Prabhupada got in the car and drove away. And then, you know, we were all just there waiting. And, you know, I looked around, and the devotee that drove the Sankirtan van, he was right there with us. And, you know, we wanted to be so much, you know, with Srila Prabhupada and, you know, be at the temple when he first arrived. It was very traumatic for me. And, you know, this devotee, he had to go and get the van out of the parking, and it seemed like forever, you know, before he came and he picked us up. And finally, you know, we arrived at the temple, and we all ran inside, you know, up to the temple room, and Srila Prabhupada was in the back of the temple sitting on the Vyasasan, and there was lots of incense going. It was kind of smoky, and he was speaking. And, you know, so as I sat down in the temple and I started listening to him, I was just amazed that it was, you know, I had heard so many lectures on tape, and here he was in person, and he was saying exactly the same thing, you know, that you have to surrender to Krishna and give up sense gratification. And because we got there kind of late, you know, the talk didn't last very long, and we had fixed up a couple of rooms for Srila Prabhupada to use while he was staying there. They were the Brahmachari Ashram, but when Srila Prabhupada was there, they were all going to stay in the basement. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada went into this room, and a few devotees crowded in. The rest were out in the hallway. And because it was getting late, Satsarup Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Srila Prabhupada, it's getting late, and we've rented a hotel room for you to stay in." And Srila Prabhupada, his eyes got very big. And he said, "Hotel?" He said, "I'm not going." And then he quoted a verse, and he said, "The country is in the mode of goodness. The city is in the mode of passion." He said, "But a hotel is simply a brothel." He said, "I'm not going." He said, "But the temple is Vaikuntha. I'll stay here." And, you know, all the devotees from Boston, we were just ecstatic that Srila Prabhupada, you know, appreciated, you know, his, you know, neophyte devotees, you know, like myself, that were there trying to make the temple nice. And he actually wanted to stay there. You know, he preferred to stay with his devotees instead of going to the temple. So as Kalyapani was reading how Srila Prabhupada was like the Himalayas, that reminded me of Srila Prabhupada saying, "I'm not going." You know, he was like, he wasn't going to move. And it very much enlivened all the devotees, and he stayed there the whole time. You know, after we heard that he was staying, some devotees went to the hotel and brought the flowers back, took the pictures off the wall, came back. And it was just a small room, you know, maybe 12 feet by 16 feet. And the 2 days that he was there, he just stayed in that one room the whole time. And they just brought in like a foam mat for him to sleep on the floor. So it was very, you know, simple accommodations. But Srila Prabhupada was so happy just to stay in the temple with his devotees. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So Mother Nanda, followed by Adi Karta Prabhu.
Hi, Srila Prabhupada. So just like birds, Prabhupada gives an example in nectar of devotion. Sometimes there's birds around. You just have to clap your hands and the birds will fly away. Unfortunately, the birds of my thought have all flown away. So I just wanted to express, inadequately express, my gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, and the very attempt to even express that, it overwhelms one with how could it be possible to adequately even come close to glorify Srila Prabhupada, all he has done for us individually and for the whole world and for the universe and for the whole cosmic manifestation. Recently I heard Radhakiraman Prabhu giving a seminar on Sanskrit, and in that he was glorifying this professor, this Sanskrit professor that he had when he was in Oxford. And this Sanskrit professor was a Chakravarti professor, and he had different titles. He had different abilities to speak in Sanskrit, to compose in Sanskrit, like on the fly, you could say. He had that ability, which is quite rare. And he became so attracted to Srila Prabhupada's books that he composed 100 verses glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And he gave them to Radhika Mahaprabhu, who was reading a few of those verses. But in one of the verses, he described Srila Prabhupada as a Sarvabhauma Acharya. He was the emperor of all the Acharyas, of all the that ever existed. So to that emperor of Acharyas, we think, and I think, you know, for myself, you know, 5 years of my life was when Prabhupada was present, and just see on a flash, it just brings it up, and anybody can cry for a long time, how much he's affected us and changed the whole course of our existence. And as many other devotees have very nicely expressed, able to change the course of anyone else who comes in contact with him, of their life. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, and then Mother Radhika.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I would just like to say that I was thinking this morning about a song written by somebody who, a lot of the older devotees will remember the song, "You don't know what you have until it's gone." So I was just thinking what life would be like if Srila Prabhupada hadn't come. What would we have? I know myself, you know, I was from a good family. I went to a private school. I used to live in a nice house in London. I used to live in Mozart's house, actually. But I was totally miserable. I didn't have anything. My life was completely full of suffering. And then, you know, somehow or other, I met a book distributor. And that's probably one of the reasons I go out in books myself, because unless they meet somebody, they may never find out about Krishna consciousness. So, of course, you engage in many different things, and that's wonderful. But, you know, when I met that devotee on the street and I went to the temple the same day, or the next day. It was Saturday, I met them in London. I went the next day to the Sunday program at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And, you know, I really liked it. I decided, yeah, I really need to move in. So I moved in the next day. And they wanted me to be a gardener. I didn't like gardening that much. So, you know, they sent me out on book distribution. And it really clicked for me, and I really love distributing books. And I just think that, you know, my life, without Krishna consciousness, what would I have? All of my friends, I have wonderful friends, people I admire so much, beautiful temples, amazing, wonderful wife, because you're not supposed to be attached to your wife. And I hope to one day become detached. I don't know if I'd have made it as a devotee without her cooking. But, you know, everything we have, and especially being members of ISKCON, I think is just such an important thing for me that has really given all of us a chance to blossom as devotees, to be members of Srila Prabhupada's movement. Because personally, I never spoke to Prabhupada. And some of the most advanced devotees I know never met never spoke to Prabhupada. I can think of several of them. And they just immediately gave everything. They gave everything to his society. And you know, they hardly got any association with Prabhupada, but by understanding his intention that this movement is supposed to go on for many, 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 many years, and how will it carry on unless it's not a vehicle for Srila Prabhupada's mission to accommodate people on all levels of education, philosophy, eating, you name it, everything. So, you know, when I come to Mangalartik sometimes, I feel, you know, all the devotees at Mangalartik, they're not going to be here in 20 years from now. Where will they be? And who's going to be coming to Mangalartik? No, it's not funny. But I think that, you know, we know that the Hare Krishna movement is going to inundate the world with Krishna consciousness. We have to have that faith. And I feel that is very possible, because when I go out on Sankirtan, I meet so many people, and a lot of them are really, really nice people. Even a lot of very sincere Christians, they'll buy books from me, they'll give me $20. They're very open. So, and I was talking to one Mormon boy on Friday. He was just so interested in what we were doing and what we believed about the family and reincarnation. He just sat and asked me questions for half an hour or an hour. It was amazing. But I think that somehow or other we have to impress upon future generations, and I'm sure most of us know this already, and the GBC know this already, that, you know, we have to have people that understand, as Tamar Mahaprabhu was saying, you know, that understand Prabhupada's intention and that study his books. And, you know, there's so many books, so many letters, so many conversations. You can't really know Prabhupada ever fully, but you're more likely to know Prabhupada as much as possible if you follow his instructions and you study all of his writings and teachings. So if we want ISKCON to remain strong and to be here in 10,000 years, because ISKCON is really, you know, other Gaudiya Math groups, they come to where the ISKCON temples are because they know there's something happening at the ISKCON temple, and there's always a Sunday feast. But, you know, we have to understand how emphasizing ISKCON, how where would we be without ISKCON, without the devotees who never hardly knew Prabhupada, who gave everything to ISKCON, because to them, ISKCON is Prabhupada's body. And that we have to make ISKCON strong, and we have to serve ISKCON, because by doing that, we're actually serving Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Another Raghavnika, and followed by Divyanga Prabhu.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvisesha Shanyavati Pastor Tadeshwarane. Thank you, Adhikarta Prabhu, for stressing the importance of chastity to ISKCON and serving ISKCON, Prabhupada's mission. I came across something in the light of the Bhagavat. It describes one minute aspect of Srila Prabhupada, as he is many-faceted. The text goes, "The mountains, although being struck by torrents of rain during the rainy season, are not shaken, just as those whose hearts are dedicated to the transcendental personality of Godhead are never disturbed, even when harassed by great misfortune. Purport. Because a person who is spiritually advanced accepts any adverse condition of life as the mercy of the Lord, he is completely eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom. Even though a person takes to the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, he may sometimes become diseased, impoverished, or disappointed by life's events. A true devotee of the Lord always considers these sufferings to be due to past sinful activities, and thus, without becoming disturbed, he patiently awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Such devotees are compared to high mountains, which are never agitated in any way, even when struck by powerful torrents of rain in the rainy season. Rather, such devotees remain humble in spiritual enlightenment. Free from pride and envy, they easily gain the mercy of the Lord and go back home, back to Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada, you are our Mount Everest. But unlike the story of the Himalayas that simply gave birth to rodents, you gave birth to and continue to inspire the birth of innumerable mountains across the globe. These mountains are your faithful followers, whose faith in and love for you allows them to accept any adverse condition of life in the course of their service as the mercy of the Lord. May our experience of the inevitable increase of adverse conditions as we age and as Kali Yuga advances simply inspire and propel us forward to give the panacea and the real peace formula to the masses of suffering people around us. I pray to you today to bless me with a sense of urgency to share your message of hope while I still have some time left. I know I can't ever repay you, but I do know this activity pleases you. Please give me the spiritual strength to serve you in this way. Your grateful servant.
So, Divyanga Prabhu followed by Mother Samapriya.
Hare Krishna, Prabhus. I'm usually not this emotional, but Shruti Rupa, that just broke my heart. That was heavy. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada, please forgive me. As rascal as I am, I'm still engaged in my service, which is the only way I can try to repay what I owe you. I want to read this little, this is Vrindavan Das. Now, without considering anything else, everyone just come with me and we'll destroy the sinful activities of the age of Kali with the powerful chopper of Nam Sankirtan. I will cut the hard knots of demoniac desires from the hearts of everyone. Even if the sinners reject religion or flee to foreign countries, still they will get the mercy. I will send my commander in chief to go there and deliver them. This is Krishna speaking on his appearance as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is Srila Prabhupada sent directly from the Lord to come and deliver all the fallen souls. And he begged us, ordered us, he said, practically I am whipping them to distribute books and preach this Krishna consciousness and share what we have gotten from him to every other living entity. So I continue to do that, and in Kartik I do a little thing, I go out every day, and devotees have been kind enough to sponsor books, so I can distribute a lot more books. And every single day when I go out there, even though I'm really tired, when I get out there, I get inspired because I meet the jivas. It's exciting because you never know what they're going to say. I met this lady yesterday. She pulled up to me in her giant truck and just started yelling at me. I was just walking through a parking lot with my book bag. And she pulls up and says, what are you doing? You can't do this. Get out of here. And I said, well, nice to meet you. God bless you. You want a lollipop? And I tried to give her prasadam. She pulled out her phone, I'm calling the police. And she tried to run over me. But I was thinking, I just get Shid Rakta for this, you know? You get spiritual blood for any rejection you get out on preaching. So when you go out on Sankirtan, you meet a jiva, and you think, this jiva is lost. So what do you do? What's your duty? You give them some prasadam. You give them a book. This one couple were sitting in their truck, and the lady gave me $5, and she saw me getting donations, and she said, here, I want to give you something. She didn't know what it was or anything. I handed her a Bhagavad Gita. And she didn't, I said, it's a book on yoga and meditation, talks about inner peace. She goes, oh, thanks. And she just set it down in the truck. And I went on distributing. And about 20 minutes later, I saw out of the corner of my eye that truck coming around. And the window is open. And the man's driving. He's going, hey, hey, hey. And this other woman, I heard him, but I was just ignoring him. Because my experience usually is when you give somebody a Bhagavad Gita, and they come back, and they're all excited, it's usually the other way. It's usually like, why did you give me this? This isn't my religion. What is this? But this was nectar. The man, he calls me over. This other woman that I was talking to said, that man's calling you from his truck. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was just selling a book. And then I turned around and I said, it's okay. So I went over there and he came out of his truck and hugged me. And he said, 25 years ago in Cape Town, South Africa, he went to the temple. He said he wasn't planning on going. Someone took him, and he ate, and he almost joined. He was holding the Gita when he was telling me this, and he said, I saw this, and I recognized this immediately. He said, 25 years ago, I almost joined the Hare Krishnas. So then he gave me some more money, and he took a couple more books, and he asked some more questions, but it was just, this is one jiva that another jiva who's doing his service comes in contact with, and they were so inspired. And I went on distributing. Same thing happened. I give a perfection of yoga to this old woman. She had to be 80. She came back to me and she told me, she said, you wouldn't notice this, but I'm a yogini. And she was holding the perfection of yoga. I said, you're a yogini? Wow. So I gave her the Bhagavad Gita. Because she was holding the little book that I had given her, and she didn't pay any attention. It's very quick sometimes on Sankirtan. I give somebody prasadam, I give them a little book, and I say give a donation, and then some people don't even look at the book. But this woman came back to tell me that she was a yogini. So when she got the Bhagavad Gita, and she was all over it. She'd never seen the Bhagavad Gita. I'm thinking, what kind of yogini is this? Doesn't have a Bhagavad Gita. But anyway, so she got the Gita, and then she gives me her card, and she invites me to her island. Turns out she lives 20 miles off of Nassau on an island that's 3 miles and 2 miles wide and 3 miles long. And she does a yoga class there. So she wanted me to come and, you know, give yoga class. So I gave her the mantra cards. I said, you can do it. Just give them the mantra. It's kirtan yoga, which is very, you know, everybody likes yoga now. Most people. Anyway, so in my sojourn of trying to be human, I find that when I take shelter of Srila Prabhupada on any level, whether it's my sadhana or whether it's my service, I feel like I'm with Srila Prabhupada. I really am. I feel like Prabhupada's really here. His presence is very, very strong. And when I go out, even when I don't want to go out, especially when you're going out for 30 days straight, you have to force yourself to get out. But once I get out there, it's amazing the things that happen. I meet so many nice people, people that like to get something. They've just got something that they've never seen, and they're not going to get it anywhere else. So as fallen as I am, I'm not going to stop doing my service. I'm going to continue this service until I die. And everybody that gets anywhere near me is going to get a mantra card, a book, a piece of prasadam, or at least I tell them, Nitai! I do that all the time. You know, I go into anywhere I am, and there's people. And I pick up my phone and go, yes, Nitai, where are you? Where's Rade? Where's Denista? Haribol. And these souls, they get to hear that. So somebody might think you're nuts, but I'm with that. I'm with Prabhupada. I'm nuts for Sankirtan. And I just believe that every single jiva out there, he deserves to get the mercy as much as I did. I was just walking on the street like any other idiot, and the devotees gave me books and gave me prasadam, and the next thing you know, I'm nuts. I can't do anything but Sankirtan. That's all I do. Whenever I go anywhere, I was standing in Walmart buying lollipops the other day. And the lady, you know, she took the money and I said, here's a book on yoga. And the next lady in line said, hey, you gave me one of those books. And she said, I gave you a donation. And she said, you know, I read that book, I really like it. So I had another one, so I gave her another book. But this is what happens when devotees interact with other jivas. You arm yourself with Prabhupada's books. Have prasadam, have books, have a mantra card, or at least say Hare Krishna, or Nitai, or Gauranga, or something, because the poor jivas out there is dying to hear it. I want to tell you this. This is a direct quote from Srila Prabhupada about reading. Because we talk about reading. If you want to be with Prabhupada, you have to associate with Prabhupada. You can listen to his lectures, you can read his books, you can associate with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, well, that's another one. This is a good one too. I'll give you this one too. Prabhupada said that sometimes it's difficult to follow the order, the instruction of the spiritual master. But if the devotee is sincere and he thinks, Prabhupada said, if you cannot do, you simply pray and think, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? If you practically cannot do, but if you simply think, how can I do? Oh, then you become liberated. You also become liberated. And what to speak of when you actually serve. Now, Prabhupada says, when you're reading my books, you should read it very carefully. This is when the Nectar of Devotion first came out. Prabhupada said, you should read once, twice, thrice. Each chapter, read very carefully. If you cannot understand it, then read it repeatedly. Don't read one or two pages and immediately come, Prabhupada, what is this? No. Go on reading, 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 and the answers will automatically come. So this is just a declaration of how you associate with Srila Prabhupada now that he's gone. He's not gone. Prabhupada's here. Everybody's got 60 books at least of Prabhupada's. All you got to do is pay attention. Thank you very much, Prabhus. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So, Mr. Samatru, followed by Shankaru.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Divyanga. It's always wonderful to see someone so inspired. Srila Prabhupada is like Paramatma. Of course, he's not God, but he's like Paramatma to all of his followers because we all have a relationship with him that is so profound, that motivates us and carries us through so much life, so many years of service. And I'm doing this for Prabhupada. Who is Prabhupada? What a wonderful opportunity we have to be in his family. So, also, Shri Rupa, her expression was so beautiful and heartfelt. But I wanted to change the mood a little bit. And probably you've heard this story before, because I don't have that many. But I wanted to tell a few stories of Srila Prabhupada that inspire a different part of his nature. So one day, Srila Prabhupada came to the Golden Avatar Studios, which was in Los Angeles, and he was going to do a recording. So he drove, and I lived in a place across the street from the Golden Avatar Studios. It was called Agni Dham. We called it Agni Dham because right next door was a fire engine station. So when I knew Srila Prabhupada was coming, I waited for him across the street. Just a few devotees. It was in the morning, early morning, after the morning program. So everyone was doing their service. And Srila Prabhupada only came driving up with one brahmachari. And there were only about four or five devotees there waiting to greet him. So we all paid our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. And when we got up, the brahmachari who was escorting Prabhupada went to the back of the car. Srila Prabhupada was sitting, I think it was in the back seat, and he opened the door for Srila Prabhupada to get out. And the street was a little high, and the curb was high, and so therefore the car was a little low. And Srila Prabhupada was trying to pull himself out of the car. And I'm watching this. And I was thinking in my mind, this brahmachari would hear my thoughts. which was ridiculous. But I was saying, help Srila Prabhupada get out of the car. What are you doing? Srila Prabhupada's trying to get out of the car and you're not helping him. And the Brahmachari just standing there. And I almost had a nervous breakdown seeing how Srila Prabhupada was trying to get out of the car. And anyway, finally pulled himself up to the curb and they both went into Golden Avatar Studios to record. And when they left and when they went inside, I felt so terrible that I didn't help Srila Prabhupada get out of the car. And this plagued me, and I just stood there for the next 2 or 3 hours waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come out of the studio so that I could apologize to him that I didn't help him get out of the car. So finally he comes out. I was waiting there, and I paid my obeisances, and I went up to him. And actually, Srila Prabhupada, although he was bigger than life, he was shorter than me. And I stood right in front of him, and I went up to him, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, please forgive me for not helping you get out of the car. And then he looked at me, and he looked at the brahmachari, and said, what did she say? What is she saying? And so the brahmachari says, oh, it's nothing, Srila Prabhupada. So I look at Srila Prabhupada, and I said, oh, it's something, Srila Prabhupada. Please forgive me. You were struggling, and I didn't help you to get out of the car. I'm so regretful. I had an opportunity to serve you, and I'm so sorry I didn't help you get out of the car. So again, he looked at the brahmachari, and the brahmachari said, it's nothing, Srila Prabhupada. Really, it's nothing. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, it's something. And I said, by that time, I was tears and swelling in my eyes. I was, Srila Prabhupada, please forgive me. And he looked at me with this big, beautiful smile. And he said, it's okay. It's okay. So this is feeling like a fool in front of your spiritual master, which I'm just going to tell one more fool story. It seems to be my relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes I think I just want to make him laugh. And just by being present, I seem to make him laugh. So it was at my initiation, I made a bouquet for Srila Prabhupada to hand to him while he was giving me my beads. Before he gave me my beads, I was going to hand him this bouquet. So I got up and I paid full dandavats. And I was handing him the bouquet with my right hand and then receiving my beads with my left hand. So there's a devotee next to Srila Prabhupada screaming madly, don't take your beads with your left hand. Take your beads with your right hand. So I put the beads into flowers into my left hand, handing the flowers to Srila Prabhupada, extending my right hand to get the beads. And then the devotee again says, no, don't do that. Don't hand Srila Prabhupada anything with your left hand. So I'm going back and forth, and Srila Prabhupada is watching this comedy of errors. And finally, he looks at the devotee and says, it's okay. So I am bringing up such tolerance of Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, he's very kind. So I also wanted to read something that I wrote. Of course, this day is actually it's very sweet today because everybody is really sharing their inner thoughts, and it's very beautiful. But it's not a day that I so much look forward to. Mixed emotion. This is called Trunk of Knowledge. Sails upon the mighty tide of ocean's storm you brought. To a world of deadened souls, the holy name you taught. No other way to cure the ills of hopelessness and fear, save speak the truth with sacred words most eloquent and clear. One trunk of knowledge cargo, like seeds upon the earth, tossed within the breeze of time to root and take its birth. Inside the hearts of searching souls arranged by Krishna's grace, waiting to assist you in a God-forsaken place. My dear Srila Prabhupada, to you I humbly pray. Steeped in the fog of ignorance, I do not go astray. And from the depths of secret heart, where fearful I may hide, that you reveal the truth of life buried deep inside. You were 70 when arrived with blessed mission. Now the world sings Krishna's names, your efforts to fruition. For those who sit in solitude, drink nectar of your word, the future bright with inner sight, because from you they've heard. Now 40 have passed since you left us on our own. You have stayed within our hearts the way to Krishna shown. Yearning for your darshan, holding fast to what you say, enlightened words of wisdom proclaim you're not far away. And joy delights the soul of one whose doubt has left his heart, for he knows with solid faith the Guru does not depart. Your books are sacred mentor, your words sustain our lives. By hearing from you always, Krishna Prema grows and thrives. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
So Shankar Prabhu followed by Madanara Chakra Gopal. Shankar has empowered me to use the hook.
Okay, so on Prabhupada's appearance day, I told you about my first 3 experience with Sri Prabhupada. Now we will continue on, because I've already told you all my stories. I've been here for 5 years. So all my stories are out there, so I'm just going through it all over again, starting from the beginning and working up. So we talked about my first 3 on Prabhupada's appearance day, and so today is Prabhupada's disappearance. It saddened me because I have a very heavy experience. Well, I guess anyways, I'm going to go into Bombay 1974, from 4 after my first 3, then my next encounter with Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. I'm 74, they asked me, Prabhupada just come from some place in the world, I don't know where, and we came back to Bombay. And they asked me in the morning, they asked me in the afternoon if I could turn on the water pumps. And that fill up all the tanks of water and all the buildings. Now, all the buildings in Bombay are all these buildings, and on top of all these buildings are these big water tanks, and they give water to everybody living in the building. So I had the responsibility of turning on the water pump. Now, the thing is with this water pump, it made a lot of noise. I mean, it really made a lot of noise. So, me being kind of weird, I decided that I'd better if I don't turn the pump on while Mangal Arati is going on, Papa wouldn't be able to hear it. And besides that, I had already gone up on the roofs of all the buildings and all the tanks were completely full. So, figured I'd just go to Mangal Arati, and after Mangal Arati, I turned on the water pump. So I was out there in the gardens, collecting flowers to give to Sri Prabhupada. And I was finished collecting them. I was just starting to collect them, and then Paramahamsa comes running at me. And he says, Shankar Das, are you the one responsible for turning on the water pump? I said, yes. Well, Srila Prabhupada just wanted to alleviate his body, and there's no water for him to clean himself, and he's very upset and wants to talk to you right now. Oh, I lost my mind. I really lost my mind. Oh. So I went up into Prabhupada's room, and he was sitting there all by himself in meditation. There was a big light in the room. I don't know where the light was coming from. And there was all these cushions. It was just a big, gigantic room full. And I walked in. It was just me and Prabhupada, so I offered my obeisances and I sat there. I just sat there, maybe a minute and a half, and Prabhupada opened his eyes. And he looked at me, and he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, Sri Prabhupada, I made such a mistake." Then Prabhupada said, "Yes. Everything you do is a mistake. Get out of here and leave me alone." I just stood there, sat there completely. What have I done? What have I done? And then he opened his eyes again and he said, "You're still here. Get out of here and leave me alone." So I went downstairs and I started telling all the boys. And they were telling me, "You gotta kill yourself. You made the biggest offense to your spiritual master." So I was brainwashed. I was thinking, "Wow, I think I should kill myself." So I went on top of the building and I was looking down, ready to jump down, kill myself, you know, because I made such an offense. And then, before that, I had collected a whole bouquet of flowers. So I gave those to Giri Raj to give to Prabhupada in the morning walk, because I was going to kill myself. Anyway, there I am on top of this roof contemplating suicide. The first time in my whole life I really contemplated suicide. I really was wanting to commit suicide. And I didn't. I just turned around and sat down and I cried. I freaked out. And then they all came back from the morning walk. And I walked up to Giri Raj. "Hey, Giri Raj, did you give Prabhupada the flowers?" And he said, "Yes." And as soon as I gave him the flowers, Prabhupada said, "Where's my flower boy?" So as it was going on, you know, I was getting to learn gardening, you know, from my first 3 months I told you about. I was getting into the gardening thing. I was just really, really focusing on this garden thing and this cooking. And I really was inspired, you know, and then I had so many stories. Like in Bombay, I know you ever heard this story, but in Bombay, it was just a shack. I mean, really, I mean, all it was a couple of poles in the front, a little... that's just a real, real small thing. And the thing is, like I told you in the third time, there were rats this big running all around the property. Really, you talked, they were saying how Prabhupada was so, you know, really a tiger trying to work with this thing, and there was so much against him. Anyways, in front of the temple, there was this half-moon fence. And inside this fence were these beautiful tulsi leaves. I mean, they were beautiful. They were really beautiful tulsi leaves. Maybe 14 or 15 of them. This is like the icon for the Bombay temple, as it was in 74. So they were coming out on a morning walk one morning. And I don't know how Prabhupada knew, because I didn't know it. I couldn't figure it out. But anyway, Prabhupada stopped everybody after I gave him his flower and he said, "Why are the Tulsis dying?" And I said, "Srila Prabhupada, I don't know, but I will do some research." So I went up to Tulsi and I dug around and there were termites and ants eating the roots and they were all over the place. So the next morning they came out on the morning walk. I gave Prabhupada flowers and I said, "Srila Prabhupada." You know, Srila Prabhupada said, "So?" That's all he said was "so." And then I said, "Srila Prabhupada, the ants and the termites are eating at the roots and they're killing the tulsis." And he said, "Okay. So are any farmers here or anybody taking care of tulsi? Here is Srila Prabhupada's formula for getting rid of ants around Tulsi. Prabhupada told me, quote, you take one part lime, agricultural lime, you take one part agricultural sulfur, and you take 10 parts water, you mix that all together, and you sprinkle that all around Tulsi, and that will, the ants will go away without killing them." that was Prabhupada's formula for taking care of Tulsi. So I guess I've over my time. All glory to Sri Prabhupada.
So Mother Narottaka Gopal, and then Ramiya Prabhu.
Amakyana Timivandasha, Ginagana Shalakaya, Chaksur Unmilitam Jaina, Tasmai Shigurve Namo. When Shruti Rupa was telling her remarkable story about cooking singar for Prabhupada at his request, the only meal he had eaten, solid food in 15 days, a few of us were asking each other, what is singar? We didn't know, so I asked her, in case anybody else would like to know. She said singar is a Bengali samosa, but it's not shaped like, we shape half moon samosas, kind of. It's not shaped like our regular samosa. It's shaped it's round like a cylinder, right? Like a cylinder? Yeah, but it's got, how long is it? Just 4 inches? Yeah, 3 or 4 inches long, like a cylinder. But it has the same ingredients inside, like peas, potatoes and spices, etc.
So it's not round at the end, it's flat.
Oh, on the end's flat. Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's singar, what Prabhupada requested, and she cooked. If anybody doesn't know, we have our regular Vyasa Puja book, and then there's a secondary one which is printed in the UK, and anybody really who would like can write an homage to Srila Prabhupada for this book. It comes out every year and they mail it to you. So I decided to write about, there's a pastime that took place 51 years ago in 1966 that was always kind of, for me, you know, felt kind of really touched by it. It shows the difficulty that Prabhupada had to go, because he had, of course, tremendous successes, but he also had a lot of struggles to go through. So, dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to you. In August of 1966, you had just founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You were in New York, and at the time, there was a lot of opposition to the United States' increased involvement in the Vietnam War. All over the United States, at universities and in cities, there were peace marches and rallies held to protest the war. In New York, the United States Secretary General U Thant, he openly criticized America's involvement in the war, and so there was to be a 2-week-long peace vigil held in front of the United Nations General Assembly Building. So, Srila Prabhupada, you had met and become friends with Larry Bogart, who worked at the United Nations headquarters. Larry invited you and the devotees to the United Nations peace vigil to take part in it. You accepted the invitation and told your followers that instead of the usual morning class on Monday, August 31st, at 6:30 a.m., everyone should meet at the United Nations. So that morning, Srila Prabhupada, you and a few followers took a taxi to the UN and met other devotees who had taken the bus. When you began chanting kirtan, unfortunately, the peace vigil organizers informed you that this was a silent vigil. So you halted the kirtan. You must have been disappointed that all the crowd gathered would not hear the holy names. And the devotees also were upset, but you all began chanting on your japa beads. After some time, a dignitary spoke to the crowd, mentioning something about Mahatma Gandhi, and invited you to speak about peace. So as this story is told in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, with the huge United Nations building behind you, You explained to the crowd that the world must accept God as the proprietor of everything and the friend of everyone. Only then can we have real peace. The devotees had been scheduled for a 2-hour period, so you stayed that long and left. On the way back home, you told the devotees, "We have nothing to do with peace vigils. We simply want to spread this chanting of Hare Krishna, that's all. If people take to this chanting, peace will automatically come. Then they won't have to artificially try for peace." The New York Post newspaper ran a photo of you with the devotees at the United Nations. Srila Prabhupada, you had participated in the peace vigil to oblige your contact, Mr. Bogart. He called to thank you, and you invited him for lunch at your storefront. He wanted to discuss how you may be able to work with the United Nations and how he could solicit help from important people for your movement. You regarded his visit as important and wanted to cook a delicious prasadam feast for him. Now, when the day arrived, you spent several hours in your small kitchen preparing a wonderful meal. You had posted Stanley downstairs and told him not to allow anyone up while you were cooking. Unfortunately, Stanley was a little foolish. And when Mr. Bogart arrived, Stanley would not allow him to go up. After waiting some time, Mr. Bogart left. Naturally, Srila Prabhupada, you must have felt very discouraged. So when I read this story, it also made me feel very upset, you know, that Prabhupada, that you did not get to properly pursue your preaching to the United Nations worker. I thought you would be happy to know that now there are devotees working at the United Nations. The seed of Krishna consciousness that you planted has nicely grown and is flourishing as seen below. Fast forward 48 years. Okay, sorry, 50 years to 2017. No, that would have been 2017 from 66. Anyway, 51 years, right? There is a car with a diplomat license plate parked behind the big kitchen at ISKCON Alachua in Florida. Inside the big kitchen, the United Nations diplomat is helping to roll chapatis for the Lord's Rajaboga offering and cutting vegetables for lunch for all the devotees. The diplomat's name is Govinda Ananda Das Rodriguez Silva. He was born in Venezuela to devotee parents, Shamagori Devi and Kulakshetra Das. He is a United Nations delegate. His job title is First Secretary of the Venezuelan Mission to the United Nations. So Govinda Ananda has worked in the diplomatic field for 18 years. First 6 years in London as cultural attaché to the ambassador of Venezuela, and the rest of the time at the United Nations in New York. Out of the 190 countries in the United Nations, 120 of them are in what is called NAM, the Non-Allied Movement. Govinda Ananda is assigned to this area of the United Nations, mainly dealing with Middle East issues of Palestine, Syria, and Afghanistan. He works with drafting proposals and negotiations. So, when he's on vacation from his job, he comes to visit his brother, Ramachandra Das, and their family who live in Alachua. And as Ramachandra's daily service is to prepare lunch for the Alachua devotee community, when Govinda Ananda is in town, he helps him. In fact, when he first came here, he appreciated so much the devotee community that he said, "Wow, it makes me feel like quitting the United Nations and moving here." And then after, you know, so many months, he said, "I'm going to do that." So he did. He lives here now, and his kids go to school here at Alachua Learning Academy. Dear Srila Prabhupada, and this is all due to the groundwork you laid, Srila Prabhupada. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please bless me with one drop of the determination you had to spread Krishna consciousness. I get lazy in my comfort zone, but thanks to the association of devotees, opportunities always arise, to engage in your loving service. My heartfelt thanks for all you have given me. Hare Krishna.